أفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. صل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين. عباد الله، أوصيكم نفسي، أوصي نفسي وأوصيكم بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا قيل لهم اتبعوا ما أنزل الله قالوا بل نتبع ما ألفينا عليه آباءنا أولو كان آباؤهم لا يعقلون شيئا ولا يهتدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Why do we see a difference between the people of the world? There is a difference in their manners, in their akhlaq, in their behavior. Some people are disorganized, very chaotic, while others are more refined, more responsible, more committed, and more organized. You can see this not only among the people, the countries, but also among some families who are living in the same neighborhood, in the same village, in the same country. There is a difference in their behavior. Where does this difference come from? There is a fact. Anthropologists, sociologists, psychologists, other scientists, they say that every human being is the product of his or her culture, the environment. And what do we mean by culture? Culture consists of a bundle of factors, not one or two. When we say the culture, we mean the school. We mean the parents. We mean the teachers. We mean the mosque. We mean the street. We mean the marketplace. We mean the extended family. We mean the friends. All those things, they make the culture, the environment that surrounds us. We are influenced by our cultures. And among the cultural factors is deen, or religion. The religion of the people, their faith, their deen, their religion, is part of their cultural life. It's not separated from their cultural life. It's impossible to separate in any country with any religion. It's impossible to separate between the culture and the religion. They are intertwined. Culture and religion are intertwined. So sometimes we see people pray and fast. They don't miss the mosque. They don't miss Quranic recitation. They don't miss their fasting. But when it comes to work ethics, they don't have work ethics. When it comes to respecting time, they are not on time. They are not punctual. They have to be 60 minutes late. In some cultures, 2 hours, 3 hours late. And it is normal. I went to a country, and this is not a fiction. This is a real story. I mentioned it. One of the countries. So they told me if the taxi driver comes 5 hours late, this is normal here. Not 5 minutes, 5 hours. You have to expect this. It's normal in this culture. So not respecting time, not being organized, not being clean. You walk in the marketplace, in the streets, trash is everywhere. Why? Then what is the benefit of religion? Why people are religious? Why people go to the mosque? Why people even pray? Why people even fast? Why people even read the Quran? If their life is messed up, if their life is not organized, if they don't respect the environment, if they don't respect their homes, their streets, their neighborhoods, if it is always contaminated, then what is the benefit of religion? Is this something wrong with religion? Can we blame religion for this? Can we blame the book? We say this book has a defect. This means that the Quran has a defect. Why? Because those who memorize the Quran and read the Quran, they are not organized. Is this the problem with the book, or the problem with the prophet, or a problem with the mosque, or a problem with Islam, with the faith? Where is the problem? In fact, religion, my friends, it's part of the culture. And what influences people and drives them is not religion, it's the culture, where religion is part of it. And therefore, when people do not change, and religion came to change the culture of the people, the customs of the people. This is exactly what God says in the Quran. God said, we sent the prophet to change their customs, their behavior, their mentality, their attitude, their manners, their akhlaq. This is why we sent the prophet. So if religion fails to change the culture, that religion is going to be superficial and artificial. Just ceremonies and rituals. Just ceremonies and rituals. Mere ceremonies, which has no spiritual or moral effect on the society. It becomes a ritualistic religion. Ritualistic. Only sha'air. But there is no spirit, there is no outcome, there is no product, there is no change. So you can find some people, they don't miss their prayers. But when he looks at the trash in front of his house and the alleyway in the street, he doesn't care, it's okay for him. This is very okay. Not knowing, or knowing, but not caring, that Islam says, "An-nadafatul iman." Even your prayers is not going to be accepted if you are not nadif, if you are not clean, if your home is not clean, if your kitchen not clean, if your bedroom, if your car, if the parking lot is not clean, if your marketplace is not clean, then what sort of prayers you are doing? They don't pay attention to that. And therefore, when always culture prevails, then we have this life of backwardness. Life of always lingering behind others, behind other people, behind other cultures. And there is a good analysis here. Why people do not change? Why people do not change? Why religion does not change people? Psychologists say that every human being carries inside him two types of brains. Al-aql al-batini wal-aql al-zahiri. The internal brain and the external brain. Every person has two types of brains. The internal brain is the result of his culture, is the result of his tarbiyah, his parents, the way he was brought up when he was 2 months old. The result of his society, the result of his family, his tribe, his home. This is al-aql al-batini. Al-aql al-zahiri is the result of his religion. What he hears in the masjid, what he hears in the sermon. Al-aql al-batini, they give an example of the Bedouins in the desert. The Bedouins in the desert, they have been taught since they were only a few weeks old that your blood is better than that tribe's blood. You are superior. They believe in a tribal supremacy. Tribal superiority, that your tribe, your family, is better than that family. It's embedded in them. Even though he doesn't know his family very well, he doesn't know the name of his grandfather, but he thinks that his blood is better than others. This is ta'assub, asabiyya. Racism, tribalism and racism. He believes in a pride and a prejudice. They teach him that you have to be proud, always proud. Be proud. He believes in revenge. He doesn't believe in forgiveness. He believes in revenge. If you hurt me once, I'm going to hurt you 5 times. This is why when the Prophet came, every spot in Arabia was saturated with the blood, human blood. Killing was the easiest thing. We had two types of cowboys. Cowboys in the Arabian Peninsula, who are called Bedou, and cowboys here in the West. Two types of cowboy. That cowboy would use the sword, this one would use the gun. That's the only difference. Otherwise, with the slightest argument, they would carry either the sword or the gun, and they will kill the rival. Now, his aql, the external aql, which is the result of the school, not the family, the school or the mosque, what does it tell him? It tells him you have to be humble. You have to be forgiving. You have to be equal with others. Your blood is not better than your neighbor's blood. Your blood is not superior to other people's blood. Bloods are equal in the eyes of God. لا فضل لعربين. They keep their ulama. لا فضل لعربي على عجمين. This is only in the mosque. But in the market, they forget about these things. There is a prejudice. There is discrimination. So when these two clash with each other, the external brain, which that he learns at the mosque, only at the mosque, only slogans, with the internal brain where he learned it at home from his parents, from his cousins, from his family members, from his teachers, from his elders, when they clash, then the internal brain takes precedence over the external one. Once there is a clash, then he forgets the Quran. He forgets that in Islam we have to have equality. In Islam we have to have forgiveness. In Islam we have to help each other. We are not rivals. We are brothers. We are sisters. Brotherhood, unity, ukhuwa, fraternity. He forgets all these things. He resorts back to his what? To his internal aql. Al-aql al-batini. Al-aql al-batini takes precedence over the values that he's learning. Islam came to change this. Islam came to say your culture is your religion. This is your culture. You have to change. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad says religion is only successful when it is going to change our cultures and our customs. But if religion does not change, if these five daily prayers, if the fasting, if the Quran, if the dua, if the mosque does not change my behavior, then my religion is a failure. My religion has no benefit. It's only artificial. It's only ceremonial. Ceremonies, mere ceremonies. But the day religion starts to change my thinking, my behavior, my attitude, my relationship with others, then it means religion is influencing me, not my culture. In fact, Islam says religion is the culture. For the good believer in God, his culture should be his religion, whatever religion says, not whatever family tribe say, not whatever family tradition says. Whatever God says, God is above the family. God is above our parents. God is above our blood. God is above our tribal rules. God is the one who's superior. And therefore, when the Prophet brought his message, some of the Arabs, some of them were his cousins, cousins, neighbors, cousins, family members. They said, قالوا, what did they say? قالوا بل نتبع ما ألفينا عليه آباءنا. We are going to stick to our cultures. We are not going to change our customs. These are sacred tribal rules that we're going to stick with. We're not going to change. They failed. They failed. Because they were not willing to break free from their cultural rules. And exactly after 1400 years, we are doing the same. Many of us, we are doing the same. Now, if you want to know why Islam is not moving forward in many countries, in many Muslim markets, Islam is missing. Because cultural forces are more powerful. Family influence is more powerful. Family tradition, tribal tradition is more powerful. The message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, innama bu'ithtu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq. I came to change your customs, to make them Islamic. They are in line with Islam, with spiritual principles, with moral principles. This is the job of the Prophet. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي. عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نجعل له عينين ولسانا وشفتين وهديناه النجدين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Every day we wake up in the morning, we are faced with a choice. And that choice is whether we put our material, financial interest first, or we put our moral values and principles first. Which one comes first? And people are divided into two. People have choice. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. We have been given the choice, this moral choice. Which one comes first? Material values or human values, moral values, moral principles? Of course, all religions, not only Islam, they came to teach us that moral values are more important, more lasting, more enduring. Moral values are the one that builds you, your family, your society, your country. Not material values, not material interest. We have to sacrifice material interest for the sake of upholding moral principles and values. And this is true with every citizen, especially with the president of the country. If a person is a governor, is a mayor, is a president, is a prime minister, is a supreme leader, then he has to be a role model for the rest of his nation, for the rest of his people. Every morning when he speaks to his nation, he has to give these moral examples that we sacrifice our money for the sake of what? For the sake of our human values. These are beautiful values, values such as equality, values such as respect and dignity for all members of the society, values of equal opportunity in the society, values of a freedom of expression, freedom of faith, freedom to practice your life. But the statement that came from the White House, if you follow the news, and if you don't follow, you are very lucky, believe me. This time is not a good time to follow the news. 5 days ago or 4 days ago, there was a statement by the White House defending Saudi Arabia. And I read an article in the New York Times describing this statement. The article says that Democratic and Republican leaders declared that this statement by the president regarding the killing of Jamal Khashoggi was dishonest and morally blinkered and strategically obtuse, means insensitive. And imagine, this is the description of not only the Democrats but also the Republicans in both chambers. And they say, despite the conclusion of the Central Intelligence Agency that implicates Mohammed ibn Salman in the killing of Jamal Khashoggi, but the president, he chose to justify this act. He chose to support and embolden and defend the ruthless Saudi regime. He had a choice. Who's going to pay the price when we embolden a regime which is ruthless, which has no regards for a human dignity, for a human price, for a human life, for a human freedom? Who's going to pay the price? Ultimately, the American people are going to pay the price. The world people are going to pay the price. Human rights is going to pay the price. When you stand with ruthless people, you know that they committed this crime, they were behind it, but you try to justify. You try to justify. And it's ironic that America spends billions of dollars every year, billions of dollars, to beautify their image outside America. To tell the people of the world that we are a democratic country, we have equality, we have no racism, we reach out to others, we send you, you know, food, we send you medicine, we send you AIDS. They spend millions of dollars on that. Do you know the State Department, every now and then, I don't know how often, but I know every now and then, they choose people from Egypt, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Tunisia, Yemen, this, that country, some of them intellectuals, some of them university professors, some of them imams, some of them businessmen, journalists. They bring them to America on a tour. They spend billions, millions of dollars to tell them that, look at America, it's a peaceful country, good country, we respect human rights. We respect the Muslims, they are enjoying their life here, they have more freedom. They spend millions of dollars on that. And then with one statement, His Excellency, the President, with only one statement that lasts only 2 minutes, he demolishes the work of the State Department and the Defense Department and whatever department. It's counterproductive. The president of the strongest country in the world has to provide a moral example. But فاقد الشيء لا يعطيه. When someone is bankrupt, he's bankrupt, how can he provide a moral example? He cannot. He cannot. And those who elected him, they have to bear. They have to bear the consequences. Those who voted for him, it's a responsibility when you vote. Vote, when you're casting your vote, is a big responsibility, moral, religious responsibility. It has an everlasting effect on your life and the life of your country. He's saying to the people, that's no problem. Someone who's innocent, being captured by his consulate, being suffocated and killed inside a consulate and then cut into pieces, they stop short of barbecuing him, you know. And it's okay. It's okay because the life of people is not important. The dignity of the people is not important. The life of the people has no value. What has value is the economy, is to create jobs. Money has more value with me. I don't care about people's life, whether they are killed, tortured, I don't care. What I care is to provide you with money, my nation. What sort of message he's sending to despots? And we have many despots in the Muslim world, many despots, many tyrants. He's emboldening them. He's telling them, you can get away with any crime. We are not holding you responsible. We are not going to hold you. As long as you purchase weapons from us to kill others, that's it. You are fine. You don't have to worry about this. We don't look into human rights. This is not leadership. This is not moral leadership. We learn a lesson from this. That politicians, whether they are in the East or the West, they are equals. What is important for them is not a human rights. It's not the freedom of the societies, the human societies. What is important for them is their own narrow interest, financial interest, material interest, is the seat that they occupy. This is important for them. He used to say always America's first. America first. But today he's saying Saudi Arabia first. And I wish the interest of the Saudi people, 40 million Saudi, no. It's the interest of only the royal family, Ali Saud. He's upholding the values of the Saudi regime, not even the Saudi people. And this is why in Islam we are proud. In our religion, one of the most fundamental articles of faith in our religion is Al-Amru bil-Ma'ruf wa Nahyu anil Munkar. You have to speak up. If there is corruption, you have to speak up. Religion is not just the prayers. Religion is resistance, muqawama, against corruption, against fasad, against exploitation, against twisting the facts. I mentioned earlier, Jamal Khashoggi is not related to us. And when I follow his statements, may God forgive him. He's with his Lord. But he was also sectarian. Jamal Khashoggi, if you follow him closely, he was sectarian. He made many sectarian statements, anti-Shia statements. But I don't accept his murder in this brutal way. He has the right to live. He has the right to speak. He has the right to express himself. He shouldn't be killed because he doesn't like this person or he doesn't like that person. And we have to stand up for him. We have to stand up for him and all those who are being murdered. We have to stand up for the people of Yemen. Maybe none of us is Yemeni, except one of the brothers that I know him. But we have to consider Yemen our home. When Yemen is attacked, as if my home is being attacked. My people, my family is being attacked. This is what Islam teaches me. من سمع أحدا ينادي يا للمسلمين فلم يجبه فليس بمسلم. If you hear the cry of someone not being even believer in God, he says, oh Muslims, please help me. I need help, save me. And you don't respond, فليس بمسلم. You are not a Muslim. You are not a worshipper. This is what my religion teaches me. We have to stand with the people of the world. We have to stand with those immigrants from Honduras, Guatemala. They are not related to us, but they are related to us in humanity. They need help. Many of them are hungry. Many of them are victims of violence. We should not shut our doors. Tell me, which one of you was born here, his family, his grandfather was born here? None of you. Definitely none of you here. Maybe elsewhere, yes. Maybe in Michigan, they have fourth generation, fifth generation. But us, we are recent immigrants. Some of us came 5 days ago. some of us 5 years ago, some of us 50 years ago. No more than 50 years. If you are here more than 50 years, raise your hand. So we know your age too. We are immigrants. Why did we come here? If you were comfortable back home, you would come to this country? You would leave your ancestors' land and you come to this country? We came here for reasons to exist, either for money or education or treatment or freedom or whatever, or good weather. So we are immigrants, and we have to open our hearts for those who are suffering. I cannot say, once I'm inside America, then shut the door. Nobody is allowed to come. No, this is not insaniya. This is not a humanity. We have to welcome those who are really under pressure, those who have been persecuted either by their governments or the harsh realities of their communities. Some of them are hungry. They need food. They need shelter. These are the principles of a humanity. This is what we learn as Muslims. So, my friends, we should be influenced not by our president, but by our faith. And hence, I'm proud that you are the moral guide of America, not the White House. White House is the most corrupted institution today. Even Sarah Huckabee, you know, when I see her, I get irritated. You can't find someone who speaks the truth, who's honorable, who's sensible. You can't. They shut down they shut off the correspondence because he's not pleasing. He's not kissing up to the president. If you don't kiss up to him, then you have no rights. Sit down, sit down, sit down. This is not how you run your country. But this is the price that many American people should pay. They should pay because they elected the wrong person. They should pay. These are the consequences of what people wanted, the majority of them. If this is what you want, enjoy it then. Enjoy it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Allah ya'muru bil-adli wal-ihsani wa-ita'i dil-qurba wa-yanha anil-fahshai wal-munkari wal-baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Inshallah, Saturday, tomorrow, we celebrate the Milad of Sayyid al-Kainati Rasulullah Muhammadin al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his grandson, al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammadin al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa sallam. And we're going, inshallah, to begin at 7 sharp, so we don't have Maghrib and Isha prayers, because Maghrib and Isha prayers are at 5 p.m., so please kindly do the prayers at home. So we begin sharp with the program, and we have some interfaith and intrafaith guests who are going to speak, inshallah. And this is the last call and last invitation for those who would like to join us on the ziyarah of the Atabat in Iraq and Iran in December, inshallah. This is the last call, the last day to register with us, inshallah, if you'd like to be on this ziyarah trip, inshallah. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat. والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات وعجل في فرج إمامنا وقائدنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.